I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is about to turn midnight, which means it's Friday, October 8th, and we're recapping, surprise, surprise, another weird Seahawks primetime game. You won't believe this, but you can't go to Seattle, hold a primetime game, especially if it's NFC West rivals, and have it not get weird. Joining me to break it down, John Breach and Ryan, a.k.a. Old Mad Dad Wilson.
Jeez, what'd you call me there? Mad D, what?
Old Mad Dad.
Hey, Breach, do they play these games in Austin where the unofficial slogan is keep it weird?
I actually knew about the Austin slogan, and we're going to keep it weird in this podcast. We have some weird stuff to talk about today.
That's the least cool thing you could have said. Have you been to Austin where they say keep it weird?
That's not what I said.
Do you mean Boston?
By the way, your toupee slipping there, Brinson. You know,
no, what happened is my dog has been messing with my toupee up here.
Put your toupee on your dog? See what he would look like?
I was actually supposed to get a haircut yesterday, but...
Hair in quotation marks for people who are watching.
my surgeon wasn't available, so I had to...
The great thing about you getting a haircut...
...for next week.
Breach, I don't know if you knew this, but Brinson actually mails his hair into his barber, trims it up, mails it back.
So no, it's a lengthy surgery.
Which is a problem because USPS is having some serious delivery issues. So Brinson's bald in 3 days. That's lost in the mail.
It requires like so essentially I can't do the podcast on Sunday. Breach is going to have to host because I'm in my post-surgery quarantine for my hair plugs. Until
Tuesday. Boy.
I love that you're leaning into it. I appreciate that.
No more hair plug jokes.
Breach, you're by yourself on Sunday night. I'm out.
Could you imagine me hosting a show by myself? First of all, we would only talk about every field goal from each game. It would be like red zone with field goal zone, and it would be over in 30 minutes.
Was this game more exciting for you, Breach, or last Thursday night games when the Bengals moved into first place in the AFC North?
This game was bonkers, and it was bonkers before the Michael Dixon thing happened.
By the way, before you get to the double.
Okay, yeah.
The final score was 26.
Hey-o.
What is on your mind, Brent? Your dog's in your office with you, and this is a slip-up you're having?
What were they watching?
I even made a point to say, when we were talking about Chris Carson and HQ today, I made a point to say herniated disc. Because you don't want to have the Steve Lee situation happen. 26-17, Rams over Seahawks. And there was, as Breach dreams about, a double punt.
The double punt. So if you have not seen a replay of this, you absolutely need to go on Twitter, go on YouTube, go somewhere and find, go to my Twitter page. I tweeted it out. You have to see this clip. This could have put the game away. This came in the second half. The Seahawks had the ball and they were trailing. What were they trailing? They're trailing 16-7.
Right, I'm not sure the single punt would have put it away, but there was a double punt in front of the line of scrimmage.
Well, no, hold on. Let me finish. So the Rams block the punt. If the Rams recover it at like the Seahawks 8-yard line and score, it's game over. Agree.
Breach, by the way, just let me know quickly. Jameer Jones blocked the punt, recently cut by the Steelers. So they clearly don't need him.
Clearly the Steelers do not need a guy who knows how to block punts. because they are very successful right now. You're correct, Wilson. So it is so the Seahawks are punting. Jameer Jones blocks this punt. If the Rams recover it, they're at like the 10-yard line for Seattle. They're going to get at least a field goal. The game is over because the Seahawks were already trailing 16-7 at that point. And you know what? Instead, Michael Dixon picks it up, thinks about running for the first down, then says, I'm the slowest guy on the field right now. Hell no, I'm not running for this first down. So he punts it again, his second punt on the play, and it goes 68 yards and lands at the Rams' 11-yard line. So instead of getting the ball at Seattle's 10-yard line, all of a sudden the Rams get it at their own 11. But this caused total chaos because nobody knew if a double punt was legal. Mike Pereira is – yeah, go, Brinson.
No, I was going to ask you, Breach. I know I don't want to put you on the spot here, but
– we already asked.
I would assume that this is the single greatest double punt of all time.
Oh, I can't even think of another instance. I was like combing through the rule book. I've never looked up the double punt in the NFL rule book. And so you have
Mike Pereira is like, obviously that's illegal, Joe. He can't do that. It's going to be a foul. It's coming back. And they come back. They're like, it is a first down Rams ball on the 4-yard line, or they may take a 10-yard penalty. Sean McVay was so confused. He didn't know. And we'd love to bash Prisco in here. Sean McVay didn't know he could have challenged it, that he was beyond the line of scrimmage and would have forced him to – it would have been a penalty for an illegal forward.
Hold on. So this keeps going. So hold on. So when they threw the flag, they said, you know, either the Seahawks can punt over or the Rams can have 10 yards added on to where the ball landed at the 11-yard line. So then they would have the ball at the 21. If you're the Rams, you would have picked for them to punt over. But then they waved off the flag. They said – this isn't a penalty, and it's your ball, LA. And the reason they waved off the flag, Brinson, go.
No. Go ahead.
So clearly there was someone in the ref's ear saying, all right, we just went through our own rule book. We didn't even know this rule existed, but this is not a penalty, and you're waving off the flag.
But again, I don't want to give Pete Prisco credit, but he's right. The flag, the initial flag was for the double kick, which was illegal. They thought was illegal. But he actually did go past the line of scrimmage and kick the ball.
No,
so he should have challenged it, which would have moved it back, right?
If he had challenged it, I do not think he would have won. I think Michael Dixon did this punt legally. So the line of scrimmage was the 21-yard line. I shared this picture with you guys in Slack, and I shared it.
Up a dunk for Pete right here. Go ahead.
I shared it on Twitter. So it is like everybody knows the quarterback rule. If they just have a finger behind the line of scrimmage, they are legally behind the line of scrimmage and the pass counts. So their whole body could be past the line of scrimmage, but if their hand is behind it at the release point, and the same rule applies to punters. So if any part of the punter's body is behind the line of scrimmage, so Dixon's kicking foot was clearly in front of the line of scrimmage, but his body was like leaning backwards because he had kind of picked it up. And I think that, and there was a ref right there staring down the line of scrimmage. And I do think he was actually behind the line of scrimmage by about 2 inches.
After the game, Sean McVay actually said, he was asked about it, of course.
All right, before you continue, just to be clear, Pete Prisco was dead wrong, right?
Whoa! Oh! What a big jam! Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away! Dipsy-doo, Dunkaroo!
All right, you got it? Yeah, Sean was asked about after the game, and he said they called New York, and that's why they threw the flag initially, and then they picked it up because whoever replaced our guy Al Riveron somehow knew this rule that you tweeted out that Debo has on YouTube if you're watching right now. And Sean McVay, like everyone else on planet Earth, including Breach, who in confidence said he didn't know the rule. He said, I didn't know what the hell was going on there. And not only that, we got the ball at the minus 10, which is insane. You mentioned the 68-yard punt. But Breach, you're actually underselling how athletic Michael Dixon is. You said he was the slowest. I would wager that he was probably one of the five fastest people on the field. He's a great athlete. He picked up a ball that was spinning like a top with one hand, thought about running it, and then boomed it like a college kicker, Aussie-style kicker, on the run 68 yards later. I mean,
what percent of the population in America can pick up a blocked kick and re-punt it? It's like 1%, maybe.
I was going to say, before Brinson had to get that point in, he might have been that game's MVP.
If the Seahawks win, absolutely, because that would have saved the game.
Question, Wilson.
Sure. It would have absolutely saved the game if that would have happened. And it was just absolutely crazy. And so what is illegal, though? And I think this, because there was just so much confusion about the rule. If Dixon had, say, hit the punt, say a low punt, right, and it got tipped at the line of scrimmage by by the Rams, right, by one of the defensive linemen who were not rushing, but it was just a low punt, and it got batted back to him, and then he picked it up and punted it, that would have been illegal because it crossed the line. It can't cross the line of scrimmage and come back. And
let me ask you this.
That's where the double punt becomes illegal.
I think it's idiotic to be able to punt the ball twice anywhere on the field. I think it's a dumb rule because why would this happen? So knowing that, what happens if the second punt got blocked? Can you pick it up and punt it again behind the line of scrimmage?
You can punt it as many times as you want as long as the ball never crosses the line of scrimmage.
All right, so hypothetically, Dixon goes to punt the second time. Someone who's in play legally comes flying in, swats it back. Could the long snapper pick it up and then punt it to the right side of the field?
I think so, right?
I believe – I'm not sure if a different player – I think yes. I would
I
say
think
yes.
So, as long as you're not –
Are there eligibility rules for the punter?
The effed up thing about the NFL is there are people – like, there's a decent chance Roger Goodell didn't know this rule.
No one knew it.
Oh, no one knew it, and he runs the league.
Well, I will give Roger a break. He ain't in charge of the rules. The fact that Mike Pereira didn't know it is sort of – that's not a great look.
And the fact that it took 10 minutes for the officials to sort all this out. They had no – the officials on the field had no clue what was going on.
Right.
And in Mike Pereira's defense, have you ever had a Tito's and soda?
Could you say?
Mike Pereira, like, slams Tito's all day long.
Well, I don't want to. I don't know.
Fox does it like a Mike Pereira's Tito's Lounge thing.
I don't want to besmirch the man's name.
He's doing free advertising for Tito's. That's what he's doing, Ryan.
Yeah, we're trying to get a Tito's.
Podcast,
podcast, Ryan. Anyway,
I do love Tito's.
Tito's is pretty good. It's vodka for dog people, they say.
That's what they say.
I've never heard anyone say Tito's. That.
That's literally Tito's slogan, guys.
I'm with Breach.
Okay.
Right. You know, if...
Okay. Well, right. Anywho.
Fun fact, Tito's keeps it weird. They're from Austin, Texas. Boom. Yes. Podcast just went full circle.
Correct. Do you want to keep talking about the double punt or get back to the game?
Well, since the Rams won, we can leave. If the Seahawks had won, it would be the focal point of the entire podcast. But I'll take that back.
It's insane that we've spent this much time talking about a double punt instead of the fact that Russell Wilson didn't come back in the game.
Well, I was going to say, like, if I did initially said Dixon would have been the MVP if they won the game, but it would have had to have been Geno Smith based on the way he played.
Geno Smith, what a performance!
And it was that interception, by the way, you knew it was coming. There's going to be an interception at some point, but you know, that actually wasn't his fault. Tyler Lockett fell down, got tripped up by Jordan Fuller. That's not, it shouldn't have been flagged.
But before we get to the Geno, what Geno did and how Geno looked, it is important to note that, you know, earlier this week or last week, we talked about, you yelled at me about Trey Lance. And we talked about how would you, like, who would you be predicting first place or last place in the NFC West?
Mm-hmm. I didn't yell at you, but go ahead.
Oh, sure. Whatever. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put your concern for the Seahawks based on Russell Wilson's finger, Wilson?
Russell Wilson's finger, Wilson.
Yeah, that didn't sound great. You know, I said it would go on Russell Wilson's finger.
I love Russell Wilson's finger, Wilson. So here, let me find it. Here's the schedule. So here's the deal.
Terrible band name.
Yeah. No one has seen Russell Wilson's finger, Wilson. So the Seahawks are 2-3. Not great. I still think they're in better shape than, let's see, Pete Carroll characterized Russell Wilson's injury as a badly sprained finger. One of the great healers. I don't know what that means. We'll see how
it means he drinks the nano bubbles.
Was he a freaking carny?
So yeah, they have 10 days. They're 2-3. Not great. I still feel better about them than I do about San Francisco. I don't know what Jimmy G's calf situation is. And we talked about Trey Lance in the last podcast, and the defense actually played a little better for the Seahawks tonight. So that's good news, but here's the bad news. If you don't have Russ Wilson, you're at Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a game you can certainly win. New Orleans and then Jacksonville. I think 4-4 seems reasonable as a 2-3 team, but 4-4 near the midway point ain't going to do you any favors when it comes to trying to win that division. You ain't in the AFC South.
Let me post this to you a different way. You got $1 million. You're going to lose it one way or another. You either got to predict, and if you lose, you die. So double loss.
Great.
Yeah. You got to either predict the winner or predict the loser of the NFC West. But
that's my thing.
But I know I'm flipping it on you, but there's a caveat. Both Jimmy Garoppolo and Russell Wilson are out for 6 weeks. What are you going to do?
I think I'm still rolling with the 49ers to lose it.
You're dead, man. You're dead. and you're dead.
But here's the thing. So
you're putting your unearned $1 million on Geno Smith.
Well, I would rather
Seahawks defense.
I'd rather lose an unearned million than lose an earned million.
You'd rather die than have you be right. Is that what you're saying?
Debo, do I have to be on this podcast in the afterlife? Then I'm good.
It's in your contract, yes.
Got me.
But seriously, I mean, if
let me tell you what my concern is. I don't
trust. You didn't
trust,
go back in. That's a big problem.
No, I don't disagree. This isn't easy, even though I said it quickly. I don't trust Kyler Murray to stay healthy. And that's no fault of his own. That's just the fact that he's 5'11". And then I don't trust, like, there were some questionable sort of decisions the last 2 weeks in terms of what the Sean McVay offense has been doing. Maybe part of that is Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford might have a broken finger, too.
That's my point. So I don't know. Which way are you going then?
I would take if somebody told me Russ is missing 6 weeks, I'm taking the Seahawks to finish last.
But Geno Smith,
let's clear something up. We do not know how long Russell Wilson is going to be.
I'm saying
and we don't know if his finger is sprained. We don't know if he dislocated it. Pete Carroll said sprained, but it could be dislocated. It could be broken. They're just trying to downplay it.
This is a good one. All right, if you're watching in the comments, right, Wisconsin, if the Seahawks make the playoffs, and right, NC State or some variation thereof, if the Seahawks miss the playoffs. I'm assuming it'll be a barrage of NC State just to troll me. But we don't know how long it'll be.
They
didn't bring it back in the entire game.
No, I get that. But let me – one more thing before you make your decision and breach it as well. I was blown – and maybe Geno Smith just caught lightning in a bottle – but he played better over four drives than Trey Lance has played. And that's truth.
I thought you were going to say during his entire career with the Jets.
No.
I mean, if you want to do a head-to-head $50 battle on Trey Lance versus Geno Smith,
this is your hypothetical. Year,
I'll take that.
This is your hypothetical. I'm just trying to appease the guy who's running the show here. All right. Well, who are you going with?
I mean, I'd take the Seahawks to finish last.
All right, Breach.
If Russell Wilson is out for how long?
Hypothetically. 6 weeks. I would bet, dude, Russell Wilson's middle finger was bent in a way it's never been bent in his entire life.
It wasn't like he was bent the other way.
He's a quarterback who throws with his right hand.
Russell out 6 weeks, their best case scenario for the next 6 weeks would be 3-2.
Yeah, that's...
And so that keeps them alive.
Pretty generous with Geno Smith.
All they need to do is finish in third, Breach. So the question to you is, are you picking the winner or the loser? Firing squad is what happens if you get it wrong.
I am taking the Seahawks as the fourth place team.
Okay, that's fine.
And I don't think Russell will be out that long, but the reason I ask that is he was out a long time.
Can Matthew Stafford, first quarter Matthew Stafford be on that firing squad? Just he'd be missing me with the bullets. They'd all be going over my head.
Left up his finger too and came back in and kept firing.
Yeah, before he got injured, though, he was struggling. He was airmailing passes in the first quarter.
The first two third downs, he missed a wide open Cooper Kupp and a wide open Van Jefferson.
It was ugly.
A question about a quarterback's toughness. This is when we talk about these injuries, huge game tonight, right, for the Seahawks? We agree on that, right?
Well, yeah, it's huge for both teams. What do you mean?
How long did Geno came in and they never brought Russell back in? His leg wasn't shattered.
Pete Carroll said he couldn't grip the ball.
Yeah, he couldn't throw the ball.
That's a problem for the long haul, guys.
Well, we don't know how long dislocated and they put it back in, it might be better by Thursday.
Let's remember, by the way, two weeks ago, you said, oh my God, Christian McCaffrey, that's real serious. They announced him out. He's going to play this week. So we don't know.
That's true. I'll take that L.
He has 10 days to heal. So
Christian McCaffrey dies at the field Sunday.
That's on you.
Your hand.
And by the way, they're playing the Steelers. So Geno Smith can get his first win since 20 whenever. So they're fine.
I thought Geno Smith looked good for the record.
He looked awesome. He looked amazing. Now, look, I don't expect him to play this way. Should he have to play next time or the next two or three times?
I mean, do we agree that Russell Wilson not being able to grip the breach is not a
Breach can grip the football. And he has size 2 hands.
That says Rawlings on it. That's not an NFL
football. It is not an NFL football. I am just pointing out that a quarterback, a middle finger is
A Nerf football.
This is not a Nerf football. It's a college size football. And all I'm doing is showing you guys that
it's like you won't believe. Look at how big my hands are. Like, what are you
the doing? Middle finger is important to throw. Like, if it was his pinky, you can kind of get away with it, but your middle finger controls so much of the throw that, you know, if it's not working, it's going to be tough for him to play.
So the Bengals go 3-1. Bunch of special teams things happen, and suddenly Breach is a quarterback expert.
Got it. I'm just showing you. I got the football out to show you.
Oh, he missed. Oh, and he may have pulled a hamstring or a muscle, and there is complete elation.
But I got a doctorate from an online university last night, Ryan.
Last night. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah, I don't think Russ is going to be out that long because he's tough and he's a quick healer, as Pete Carroll noted. And yeah, the reason he didn't come back in is just because he couldn't hold the football, as Breach noted. And he did try to throw it, and that was a weird looking sort of quick screen he threw on one of the first few series in the second half after he got hurt. So, I mean, Geno Smith gave them the best chance to win, and that's how they ended up in that situation.
I'm just saying the idea that that game was that close and Russell didn't come back in gives me pause about Russell Wilson's injury. Speaking of pauses, let's take a break. When we come back, maybe we'll talk about Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, Matthew Stafford.
Me.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I don't know how everyone got a shot at it on being a Hall of Famer there, but Matthew Stafford didn't quit when his finger got hurt. No. Taped it up, went back in, and won a football game like a Hall of Famer would, Breach.
He did. Look, hey, Matthew Stafford played an awesome, awesome second half. I was a little bit worried about him in the first half. Like Ryan and I were saying, those first two drives, he was airmailing a few passes, missed some wide open receivers. The third drive, he threw the ugliest interception, called the interception, top prop bet. Even though he's Princeton's Hall of Famer.
No, that was not an ugly interception.
Well, if you're trying to throw a ball away and it gets intercepted, that's ugly. No. Princeton, that's ugly.
It was pretty ugly.
If you're throwing the ball away and it gets intercepted, that's ugly.
If you watch the All-22 Diggs, who's this boy from Detroit, baited him into it.
Why don't you just throw the ball into the stands? What's your point?
Was he throwing it out of bounds
because he's rolled out of the pocket?
What did Diggs bait him into? He was throwing it out of bounds.
Did you see the end zone shot?
It was a bad throw.
No, it was a great play. Great defensive play.
But wait a second.
Hall of Fame defensive play.
Where was the ball?
Hall of Fame now too?
I think, yeah, Brinson's just trolling. There was no one there to catch the ball. So clearly it was a terrible throw.
He thought he was lobbing it over the receiver into a dead space. And Diggs made a play.
Here's the thing. He has a Hall of Fame arm.
But if you're throwing it to dead space in the end zone, you just throw it out of the end zone. You don't even leave it in the field of play. So it was a bad decision if it's a good throw.
It was a bad mistake, not a bad decision.
Terrible decision. Okay.
So either way, he looked bad in the first two drives, then throws that interception on the third drive. And his first half was just kind of ugly. But then I don't know if Sean McVay was like, we're going to trade you back to Detroit for Jared Goff or something.
The finger.
I don't know what happened in the second half, but they came out that first drive, the crazy pass to DeSean Jackson, which he actually underthrew, and Jackson just made a fantastic play. And once they got that, that like kickstarted that Rams offense, and they couldn't miss. I mean, Stafford started going to Robert Woods all the time. And, you know, it was actually crazy to see Deshaun run out of gas on a six, you know, 5 years ago, Deshaun scores that touchdown, beats everyone in the end zone by 6 yards. On this one, he gets tackled at like the 20.
Well, he ran out of bounds.
That's the third time Stafford's underthrown Jackson this season. By the way, Robert Woods is, for fantasy and gambling purposes, that's twice this year where McVay has come out and talked about giving a guy targets the next game. Deshaun Jackson went nuts. And then this game, he talked about giving Robert Woods targets, 14 targets, 12 catches, 150 yards.
Here's the thing. Maybe the defensive coordinator of the other team should listen to Sean McVay's press conferences.
Probably.
Because 12 of 14, 150, as I just mentioned. And he was tearing people up. Stafford also underthrew Kupp in the second half, where Kupp had to slide to catch. It would have been a touchdown if he stayed up for that. But look, he clearly was playing with nine and a half fingers. So credit to him for toughing it out. Sean McVay talked about that after the game.
I mean, if I'm the Rams, the thing is, he didn't play. Look, the stats say he played pretty well. 365 yards, 25 of 37. But I'd give his grade like a B minus for the game.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. And a lot that minus has to do with him not being 100% healthy. That's fine too. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're playing back-to-back NFC West huge games, and they went 1-1. It's fine.
Yeah.
But you lose at home to the Cardinals. Went on the road at the Rams. I mean, excuse me, the Seahawks.
And you know last year, I was going to say that Jalen versus DK Metcalf, like their matchups, 8 targets, 4 catches, 44 yards. DK was 5 for 5 for 98 with 2 touchdowns tonight. And 3 of those, I believe, came against.
Yeah, because Jalen's playing more in the slot this year with Raheem Morris.
Yeah, but two of those matchups, the first two were man-to-man with DK, and DK won them both.
You know who had a rough night for the Rams?
Who?
Matt Gay, their kicker. He had the kind of night where Sean McVay is going to go to the special teams coach like, hey, what's up, man? We've been cycling through kickers. So I need to find someone. He missed an extra point. He had 2 kickoffs go out of bounds, which is just – that's the kiss of death in NFL. You can't have one, let alone two, because that gives the other team the possession at the 40-yard line instead of the 25. And that's just – you know, now you're only 25 yards away from being in field goal range because the kicker kicked the ball out of bounds. And that's just, you know, there's no pressure on you when you're kicking off. So that is an ugly, ugly mistake for a kicker to make.
The Rams are in a pretty good spot right now.
Yeah, their record is super soft. Yep.
At Giants, Lions at home, at Texans, Titans at home, and then at 49ers, at Packers. They should be. Don't write Benson in that. Shit again. God, y'all are a bunch of
Mr. Kids. Sea Otters. That's a great name.
They should be worst case. I mean, seriously, 6-2, worst case after that stretch.
I mean, we're laughing at the comments.
No, I know what we're laughing at.
Well, nice. The people who aren't watching on YouTube don't know.
Yeah, right. People listening on the actual podcast don't know. Seahawks, meanwhile, at the Steelers in 2 weeks.
Mm-mm-mm. Wait, the Rams, I got a bold prediction. You just read the schedule. I think they lose one of their next three. Giants, Lions, Texans.
Is it going to be the Jared Goff revenge game? Is
Brees touching like so? I said a bold prediction.
Because those are all bad.
One of the next four.
No, Giants, Lions, Texans. I think they lose one of those three.
That's pretty bold.
Do you think they lose one of those three?
I don't.
Okay, well, there you go. I think they either go cross-country and lose to the Giants or lose the Jared Goff revenge game.
This is how Breach thinks, Wilson. He's so far ahead of the curve, he's already predicting his headline for Jared Goff gets revenge over Rams. Lions, yeah. Oh, my God, he's so predictable.
By the way,
I don't know if you call him a clown.
There you go, click clown.
That should be what it is.
By the way, Sean McVay.
A promiscuous click clown.
Sean McVay opened his press conference by saying, we got a nice little mini buy. And all I could think was, that's what Urban Meyer tried to say when he stayed back. So hopefully Sean McVay is not.
I mean, Urban set his mini bar on fire until Wednesday.
Lord.
All right, so the Seahawks at the Steelers, Saints at home, Jaguars at home, at the Packers. Ooh. I mean, that could be.
Could be bad, or it could be.
There's 1-3 potential there if Russ is hurt.
Yeah, I feel like Geno Smith is going to go into Pittsburgh and teach the Steelers a lesson. The Saints.
Okay.
Saints offense is dog doo-doo with Jameis. I mean, it was fun for a game and a half.
But yeah, but this Saints defense is good.
I mean,
you're predicting a Geno Smith upset of both the Steelers.
If Geno's their quarterback, they're not going 3-0 in that stretch.
Or 4-0.
And I think it's crazy that I didn't see the Packers. Thought we were stopping at the bye. But yeah, they're not going 4-0. I'd say 2-2.
I think 2-1 is a huge win if you have Geno Smith for. At Steelers, at versus Saints.
Yeah, no. Versus if you come out of that 4-4, you're 4-4, which is actually pretty good
overall. Yeah,
yeah, 4-4 overall. But you're not playing the AFC South, so it doesn't matter. You
Ryan,
could be.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
On Monday, the NFL had the option of flexing the Steelers Seahawks game out of Sunday night, the Week 6 one.
Yeah.
Would you have knowing
they didn't
how the Steelers offense is? Would you have flexed them out?
We have to Sunday watch night? That game?
At the time, it was 1-3 Steelers versus 2-2 Seahawks.
100%. Why would you want to
subject them? And so now they're going to have the Steelers' crappy offense against possibly Geno Smith. Because
and maybe Mason
out.
Rudolph could be playing at that point. So it could be Mason Rudolph. I hope it's Mason Rudolph.
All right, I want to give you the games they could have flexed out. I assume any of these games, right? Cardinals-Browns.
So wait a second. This is next Sunday night?
No, this is Week 6.
Week 6, yeah. Cardinals at Browns, Cowboys at Patriots.
Oh my, that's probably a protected game.
Yeah, it has to be. That's the thing.
Packers at Bears.
Yeah, I mean,
Chargers at Ravens.
Yeah, I don't. But that breach knows who's
any of these games over Russ at Dead Ben.
No, Geno at Mason.
Geno at Dead Ben.
Cardinals Browns. The Cardinals Browns would have been the game.
Cardinals Browns is a freebie. You never get to flex Cardinals Browns.
That's true. But nope. Baker isn't 100%.
We're getting Geno versus Mason Rudolph.
Would you trade give me your power ranking.
Yes.
Baker Mayfield, bomb left shoulder, Geno Smith, current Ben Roethlisberger.
In the order that you just said them. Baker, Geno, Ben. I mean, did you see Geno play tonight? He pushed the ball. He threw for more yards down the field, air yards.
Oh, I agree completely with you.
Yeah.
No, I want you could lop. You could lop off like Baker's left arm
and his right. And I was
Geno only played for 1.5 quarters. He threw for 131 yards. Russ played for 2.5 and threw for 152.
Man, the three drives after the second half for Russ.
You know what's crazy? If you would ask me at the end of the first quarter who was going to win this game, I would have said the Seahawks by a touchdown. They dominated.
No. That is crazy.
The first drive, they drove straight down into Rams territory, and then Pete Carroll punted on 4th-and-3 from the Rams' 43-yard line.
So that was your indication that the Seahawks
were going to timeout, kind of keep going, but Brandon Staley would have gone for that, Chargers coach Brandon Staley. And then –
what do the Chargers have to do with this?
Well, I'm telling you that you shouldn't punt on 4th-and-3 from
– wait, did they punt?
You know you're saying the Seahawks should win, and their coach is – Pete Carroll.
They went for it.
Punts.
No, that was the first possession, Ryan. The second possession, they went for it on 4th-and-2 from the Rams' 29-yard line.
Alex Collins up the middle.
Well, I'm saying they were going up and down the field the first two possessions and couldn't finish a drive, and the Rams couldn't do anything.
So your argument is that they punted from the 43.
My argument is that they drove up and down the field, and Matthew Stafford was overthrowing everyone on the first two possessions for each team.
Yeah, that's
overruled. All right, great stuff on the Seahawks-Rams game. Just the key is you don't let Breach finish his sentence. Move on.
you, Brenton's like, we let you talk enough with a double punt. That's all you get tonight.
Best bets. RJ White went 6-0 last week. He brought up the broom. He's on fire. Make sure to check him out in the feed. Of course, we'll be back to recap all of Sunday's action. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you guys tomorrow.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount+.